Chapter 24. Jesse sat with Molly in the squad room watching videotapes of Walton Weeks. Molly was taking notes. On the screen, Weeks was interviewing a congressman. "I am not, of course, an economist," the congressman said. "Thank God," Weeks said. "But I've yet to hear a valid argument against what used to be called trickle-down economics. The theory that if rich people have money to spend, they'll spend it and everyone will benefit," Weeks said. "Yes, as a means of redistributing money, it is infinitely more efficient than having us give it to the government for redistribution," the congressman said. "In the form of taxes," Weeks said. "Yes, if taxes are lowered for people with money, they'll do something with it. They won't pile it in the cellar. They'll invest it, and some broker will get a commission. They'll buy a car, and some salesman will get a commission. They'll build an addition to their house, and carpenters, plumbers, electricians, etc. will be hired. The economy will benefit. Workers will benefit."
"Makes sense to me," Weeks said. "What about non-workers?"
"Non-workers?" "Small children," Weeks said. "Mothers of small children, elderly men, people who can't work. No one wishes to abandon those people, but higher taxes and bigger welfare payments are not the answer."
"What is the answer?" Weeks said.
"We need to create stable families," the congressman said. "Families with husbands and fathers to care for their children, their wives, their elderly parents."
"How do we do that?"
"Walton, I'm not here to talk about social engineering," the congressman said.
"Of course you are," Weeks said.
"What do you think taxes are?"
"Too high," the congressman said, "is what I think taxes are."
Weeks smiled and looked into the camera.
"On that note, we'll take a break," he said. "Be right back."
Jesse clicked the screen dark. Molly looked at her notes. Jesse stood and walked down the room and looked out the back window at the Public Works parking lot. "Pretty reasonable guy," Jesse said.
"He asks odd questions and follows them up," Molly said, still looking at her notes.
"But he isn't abrasive. He seems like actually interested, like there's no gotcha going on, you know?
I like the one an hour or so ago when some other guy was talking about creating stable families and Walton says, 'So, are you in favor of gay marriage?'"
"Yes, you know what's good," Molly said. "He didn't put words in his mouth. He didn't say, 'Aha, so you are in favor of gay marriage.' He just asked the honest question."
"And no wonder people liked him."
"You never watched him?"
"I only watch ball games," Jesse said.
"What do we know about him from watching his program all day?"
"He's nonpartisan," Molly said. "He challenged this guy about how to help impoverished people. He challenged some black activist a while back on welfare." She looked at her notes again.
"If it's so good," he said, "why are there so many fewer intact black families than there were 50 years ago?"
"Is that true?" Jesse said.
"How the hell do I know?" Molly said. "But you tend to believe him when he says things."
"So he's likable and believable and essentially nonpartisan," Jesse said. "He seems in a genuine search for the truth."
"Yes."
"No wonder somebody wanted to kill him," Jesse said.
"We don't want a lot of that going on in public," Molly said.
"Be the end of politics as we know it," Jesse said.
"Amazing they let him on television," Molly said.
"I got a folder full of his columns that I'll read tonight," Jesse said. "But cynicism aside, he doesn't seem like somebody who would be murdered and hung from a tree because of his, for lack of a better word, politics."
"Is that why we watched all this?" Molly said, "to find that out?"
"Good to know about your victim."
"There were two victims," Molly said.
"I know," Jesse said, "but she didn't leave us videotape. We get his killer, we'll get hers."
"The thing is," Molly said, "it's like we've got too much. Videotapes, newspaper columns, two victims, three ex-wives, bodyguard, researcher, lawyer, manager, and God knows who else."
"There's no such thing as too much," Jesse said.
"Except that it's sort of daunting," Molly said.
"It's just work," Jesse said. A dauntingly lot of work, Molly said. Jesse smiled. We can work. Molly closed her notebook. We certainly can, Molly said. My kids are starting to call me Aunt Mommy. Take tonight off, Jesse said. Oh my God, Molly said. Tough on the outside, tender on the inside. Probably the right arrangement, Jesse said. For a cop. Molly smiled. Sometimes you're the other way, Molly said. There's something I've been wondering about, Moll, Jesse said. Maybe you can help me with it. Come into my parlor, said the spider to the fly. What? Jesse said. Maybe you can help me is usually code for Molly. There's something needs to be done that I don't want to do. Molly, Jesse said, I'm the chief of police. I don't do. I delegate. Molly nodded. And wonderfully well, she said. What do you need? As far as we know, Jesse said, Weeks wasn't in the military. He wasn't licensed to carry a gun. He didn't have a security clearance. So? So why do we have Walton Weeks' fingerprints in the system? He said. Molly was silent for a moment. Then she said, I'll look into it. Chief? Chapter 25. Sonny and Spike drove Jen home to her new condo at 1 Charles Street. Sonny sat with the motor idling while Spike took Jen to her apartment and went in with her to make sure she was alone. It was early evening, a cold rain was falling, and the wind was strong. Across Charles Street, a man in a trench coat stood in the shelter of a doorway, his hands in his pockets, a wide-brimmed felt hat pulled down. Sonny studied him. There was no way to see his face. He didn't move. He could be the guy she'd seen outside King's Chapel. Or he could be Humphrey Bogart. Spike came back from Jen's apartment and got in the front seat. On the floor, Rosie raised her head and looked at Spike with some annoyance before she settled back down with her head against the heater. Dog's very territorial, Spike said. She needs her space, Sonny said. Dog weighs 30 pounds, Spike said. I weigh about 250. I need a little space myself. You wish you weighed 250, Sonny said. See that guy across the street? Sort of, Spike said. I'm going to circle the block, see what he does when we're gone. You recognize him? Spike said. I can't see him well enough. Want me to go ask him about himself? Spike said. God, you're aggressive, Sonny said. Excuse me, sir, are you by any chance stalking someone? Just a thought. Spike said. Sonny put the car in drive and headed toward Park Square. She turned left behind the Four Seasons Hotel and left on Arlington and circled briefly through the South End and back onto Charles. The man was gone. Sonny continued on Charles slowly, but he wasn't in sight. Sonny went once again around the block. Again, nothing. Want a drink? Sonny said. What about Rosie? Spike said. We'll go to the Four Seasons, Sonny said. Guys on the door will look out for her. They sat at the bar downstairs. Sonny ordered a cosmopolitan. Spike had bourbon. So what do you think of Jen? Sonny said. I think I'm the perfect bodyguard for her. A tough fairy, Sonny said. I can protect her and she can't seduce me. You think she would? It's what she knows how to do, Spike said. I don't know if she'd want sex or not, but she'd use it to get what she wanted. If I was straight, I'd follow her around like a beagle. She has a lot of juice. And she generates a lot of heat, Spike said. Spike, I didn't think you noticed things like that. I notice, Spike said. I just don't care. Jesse said she wouldn't like you because she couldn't use her sex on you. Jesse's right, Spike said. I think she'll accept me. I'm big and strong and she's scared. But I know women like Jen. She's not homophobic. My sex life is fine with her. But they only know how to relate to men in a sexual context. And when that's not available, as it's not with me, it makes them ill at ease. Some women like that.
Yes, many. They're comfortable with a guy who's got no interest in seeing them naked. Jen isn't one of them. She counts on men wanting to see her naked.
You think she's promiscuous?
Spike sipped some bourbon. Honey, he said, I don't even know what promiscuous means anymore, except I'm probably in favor of it. I think she likes sex and will sleep with someone because she does.
Nothing much wrong with that, Sonny said.
You should know, Spike said. But I don't think she's ever, what, driven by sex. She can have sex or not, but she never takes her eye off the prize.
Which you think is more than a good time, Sonny said.
Yes.
You know what the prize would be, Sonny said.
Spike sipped more bourbon and held it a moment in his mouth before he swallowed. No, he said, I'm not sure she does, but it's not about achieving orgasm.
You've only spent about 3 hours with her so far, Sonny said. You seem to know an awful lot.
3 hours is a long time if you pay attention, Spike said.
And you're smart, Sonny said.
That too, Spike said.
Plus, she reminds me of someone.
Me?
No, Spike said.
I'm not sure you know what the prize is, but you don't use sex to get it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, who's she remind you of?
Me, Spike said.
Sonny sat back in her chair with her cosmopolitan half raised to her lips.
Well, she said finally, the physical resemblance is striking.
Spike shrugged.
Sonny finished raising her glass. She drank and put the glass back down.
How would you like to be in love with Jen? She said.
Spike shook his head slowly. Oh, mama, he said.